A very good morning to you. On behalf of Teach 613, we welcome you to Take 10 for Talmud. We are recording from our almost soundproof studio in Silver Spring, Maryland, and we are so glad that you can join us. Nedarim Nun Tes, Nedarim 59a, pagination 116, will be starting from the end of the first line. But first, we make reference to a statement that was found on Nun Zayin Amud Beis, yesterday's daf. Towards the middle of the page, at the end of a line, Omer Rabbi Yanai said, Botzel shel teruma, an onion of teruma status, Shanoto, that was planted, V'rabu gidulav al ikaro, and what grew is more than the original, mutter. Even the original becomes permitted. Everything is batal, nullified to the new growth. And therefore, it's permitted. The problem, obviously, is that in the Mishnah, which we studied on the same daf, we encountered a statement regarding vows, that if a person planted the item that he made prohibited, if it's ein zaro kola, like an onion, the original did not disintegrate, then it will remain prohibited even if the growth is greater than the original. In the words of our Gemara, Masiv Rami Bar Chama, Rami Bar Chama asked the following question. Skip a line. She'eni ochel v'she'eni toim. If a person makes a vow that I won't eat or taste this particular item, he's not making the item holy, but he's prohibiting himself from eating or tasting the item. Had he made the item itself kodesh, like a karban, so then the prohibition would extend even to what grows from it. But if he's only prohibiting eating the item, we're only concerned if the item still exists. Skip a line. Bedavar she'ein zaro kala, if the item does not disintegrate, afilu gidule gidule masurim, even if there's significant growth, it will remain prohibited because there's something of that original prohibited item which is here and would be eaten if he were to eat the item. The kasha is that this is a direct contradiction, it seems, to the statement of Rabbi Yanai regarding teruma. Rabbi Yanai said if you plant teruma in butzel, onion form, where the item does not disintegrate, as long as the new growth is greater, it will nullify the original. Whereas by vows, the Mishnah itself is telling us that davar she'ein zaro kole, if the original does not disintegrate, then it remains in its prohibition because a small amount of the original is still here. So essentially, we need a distinction between vows and teruma if we're going to resolve this. Amar Rabbi Abba answered, Shaini konamos, konamos are different, vows are different. Hoil v'iboi mishel alayhu, since if you want, you could ask on them. You could request absolvement through Hatoras Nedarim. If it's a personal vow, where you're making a vow not to eat a particular item for personal reasons, you can do Ataras Nedarim, undo it, and therefore Havalu Kedava Sheyesh Lo Matirin, it becomes like something that will become permitted, Ve'ein Batal Berov, and it is not nullified. There's something very counterintuitive here we need to mention. The more lenient the thing is, because it can become permitted in the future, the more strict we're going to be with it, because we tell you, go wait until it's permitted. So we mentioned the example of muktzah, If you just wait till after Shabbos, it'll become permitted. And therefore, if it gets mixed into other things that would have been permitted, we're going to be strict with it. Because there is one item in here that right now is prohibited and will become permitted if you just have a little patience. And therefore, we tell you, don't use the entire mixture, wait till it becomes permitted. But if you have something that is so prohibited that it will never become permitted, if it becomes mixed with a significant majority of permitted item, it will now be permitted. Sometimes it has to be significant majority, 100 of its type, or 60 of its type, or just majority of its type, depending on the item and the type of nullification we're looking to do. But if it's truly prohibited, we would be able to permit it through such a mixture. Again, counterintuitive. If it'll become permitted, then we're more strict with it. If it won't become permitted, then we're willing to do the nullification. Says Rabbi Abba, a neder, a vow, is something that could become permitted through Ataras Nedarim. And therefore, we're more strict, and even though it has diminished, the prohibited item in relationship to what has grown is quite small, we're still going to prohibit it because it's still here to some degree. Whereas by Truma, it's very strict, and therefore it becomes nullified. Asks the Gemara, I don't understand your distinction. Hare Truma de'ibay mishala le'ubatli. Teruma is also something that you could ask, you could do Ataras Nedarim, and nevertheless, it is batel, it is nullified. We have a concept, Teruma, Chala, if it got mixed in accidentally, you could do Ataras Nedarim, Hatara, undoing the designation, in order that the produce should be Tevel, and you'll take Truma again, but obviously this time more carefully, keeping it separate. Tanan, as we learned, Sa'at Truma Temeya Shanafla Lepachas Memeya Chulin, if a portion of Truma Temeya fell in to 100, to less than 100 of other produce that has already been fixed, Tirkav, it's going to have to rot. We're afraid what's going to happen with it. Halameya ta'ala. That's the important point. If it fell into 100, it is going to become batel, even though teruma, I would think, is also something that's called bo'imis shel, able to do hataras nedarim on it. So the Gemara wonders, Amri, perhaps, Bitruma biat kohen askinon. Maybe it's talking about truma that already made it to the kohen. Once it's by the kohen, you can't undo it. It's only the Yisrael who took the truma who can undo it. Once he gave it to the kohen, it's a done deal. You can't undo it. And the Gemara says that's not going to be a solution, because ema seifa maisa tahora timacher lekohen. The end of the brisa makes a consideration of still selling it to the Kohen. Obviously, it's still in the hands of the Yisrael. And here we have the answer, three lines later, that we already alluded to in a previous session. Ela Ema, the correct wording of Rabbi Abba's answer is, Bishloma Konamos, I understand vows, because mitzvah le'ishulei aleihen. It's actually a mitzvah to undo them. Mishum de Rabbi Nosson, as Rabbi Nosson taught, de Omer Rabbi Nosson taught, kala noder, anybody who makes a vow and adds to the prohibitions of the Torah, ki ilu bana bama, it's as if he's creating his own altar, independent of the religion. In addition, v'hamekaimo, and if he persists and he fulfills it instead of undoing it, correctly with a chacham, with Hataras Nedorim, he decides he's going to keep it. Ki ilu maktir aleha. It's as if he's actually using the bama and bringing a karbon outside of the Beis HaMikdash, which is prohibited. Teruma, in contrast, my mitzvah is shulei Allah. There's no mitzvah to undo teruma. There's actually a mitzvah, according to Rav Nassan, to undo a vow, and therefore it's considered davar sheyesh lo matirin. One more nuance, the Ran wonders, on the top of Nun Ches Amud Aleph, we listed hektish as part of the items that are davar sheyesh lo matirin. Now, if this was a korban type of hektish, there would be no mitzvah to undo it. And why is it called yesh lo matirin? And the Ran answers, behektish bedek habayis askinon, we're referring to hektish of assets of the Beis HaMikdash, de'al korchim lefidiyah koi. Clearly, it's intended to be redeemed. And that's why it's called a davar sheyesh lo matirim. If someone donated a pocket knife to the Beis HaMikdash, that pocket knife is not intended for the Mizbeach. It's not intended for use in the Beis HaMikdash. It's intended to be redeemed. And that's why it's called a davar sheyesh lo matirim. But indeed, if it was a korban for hektish, it would not be called a davar sheyesh lo matirim, even if it's true that you could do hataras nedarim, like by teruma, but it's not going to be called a davar sheyesh lo matirim because it's not standing to be redeemed. It's not recommended that you redeem it. And therefore, in those cases, it's only if you actually redeemed it, but it's not called a davar sheyesh lo matirim. Over here, we would classify it as a davar sheyesh lo matirim because davar sheyesh lo matirim is either it will become permitted in and of itself, like the muktzah case, just wait for after Shabbos and Yom Tov, or if it's a mitzvah to undo it, and that's our case, by vows, it's classified as a davar sheyesh lo matirim, and therefore does not have the leniencies of nullification. Yashar Koach, thank you for joining.